Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island since 1988. Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find 312 Wheat Ale, Big Juicy Beer Hug, and so many other limited releases at either of Goose's locations in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hey there, if you're listening to this and you support us on Patreon, you can hear it via the Patreon page ad-free.
Hello, Chicago!
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we'll share new under-the-radar music you need to hear. Buried Treasures. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. But first, we need to bid farewell to Robbie Robertson of the band. That, of course, is the iconic The Wait, as played by The Band. The Band.
The Band.
Yes. In honor of Robbie Robertson, who died at age 80 on August 9th. And another one of those that I didn't see coming. Didn't realize that Robbie was having health issues, but apparently had some kind of illness that he succumbed to. And we're here to, you know, pay a little bit of a tribute to Robbie, because obviously a key figure in rock and roll. Age 16, he's joining the Ronnie Hawkins band. Ronnie Hawkins, for those of you who don't know, was this Arkansas rockabilly artist and showman. This guy would be doing backflips and moonwalks on the stage, you know, before Michael Jackson.
A heck of a character.
Crazy guy. And Robbie's a 16-year-old guitar phenom in this band, along with Levon Helm, Rick Danko, Richard Manuel, and Garth Hudson.
Yeah.
The future members of what would become
the
band.
You know, I won't take issue with you because you're Greg, but the number of times the words iconic have been used in tributes to Robertson. And also, I love all of the our media peers saying a founding band of Americana.
Mm-hmm.
These were all Canadians. It's worth noting.
Well,
that.
But I mean, the sound and the approach to the music
was a sea change. And they were steeped in it. They were scholars.
And, you know, Dylan picked Robertson out of the pack, said, this is a guy I can relate to, his guitar playing. From 65 through 67, Robbie was a very close collaborator with Dylan, and he brought the band in for the famed Basement Tapes.
Yeah.
But he also played on Blonde on Blonde. He was also there as part of that tour in 1966 where he was getting booed. Dylan was getting booed every night on stage.
For going electric.
Robbie was a big part of the going electric part because he was playing all those guitar fills. And guitar fills, I think, is an important aspect of Robbie's playing. And, you know, the 60s guitar icons were all soloists primarily.
Yeah.
There were guys who played solos.
The Eric Clapton model.
Right. And Robbie really wasn't, you know, he was a great soloist. He played a lot of solos with Ronnie. And I asked him about, like, where did this style come from where you were playing fills and kind of like coloring the arrangements with your guitar playing? He said, I just got tired of playing solos. I wanted to do something different. So I would compare him to a guitarist like Curtis Mayfield or Steve Cropper or Keith Richards, who said a lot with very little.
Mm-hmm.
He was a minimalist. The songwriting, you know, we could speak for hours about the disputes that Robbie had with the other members of the band, Levon Helm first and foremost, about who should share the songwriting credits on those early band albums.
I loved Levon Helm, so I'm Team Levon, and he savaged Robertson in his autobiography.
Yeah, he did. He was bitter. He was a bitter man, and it became very clear in that memoir that he wrote in the early 90s about how bitter he was about everything, the songwriting credits, The Last Waltz, which was the band's farewell concert, essentially orchestrated by Robbie Robertson and his new friend Martin Scorsese.
His good buddy and drug pal.
And again, people talk about iconic. Everybody says that's the first great rock film. I look back on it now, when you're 19 years old, you're viewing it with a certain set of eyes and ears, and when you're a little older and you realize what Levon has to say about it, you have a new perspective on it.
I wanted more of the music. Give me more Mavis Staples and enough of these backstage interviews, Marty. So look, it needs to be said, Scorsese is the worst interviewer in the history of
documentaries. And he's too worshipful, the band didn't know how to respond to him. They were just kind of standing there.
Robbie always had this attitude of, I should be worshipped. So bring it, Marty, bring it.
I don't know. He comes across a little smug in that movie. I don't know if he even appreciates that some people could view it that way. But, I go back to the music. I play those first two band albums a lot because those songs are so good. To Robbie's credit, he wrote the songs, or at least claimed to have written them, entirely on his own with very little input from the other guys, which I don't think is correct. But the point was, he did share the load with those great singers in the band. Mm. I mean, Manuel, Helm, and Danko were all great voices in a new, different approach to, rock vocals. Normally, there'd be one guy in the band who sang. This band had three terrific vocalists. And Robertson said, I would write songs specifically for Levon's voice and for Richard's voice and for Rick's voice. And it was just a marvelous combination. I think the key for me was that this band changed the way other bands and artists approach their music. I mean, the idea of going into the basement at Big Pink to record with Dylan, that just changed everything. Instead of going into a plush studio to record on the engineer's and producer's time, you could make music in this kind of sanctuary on your own, any way you felt any rules.
I think it gets mythologized, the actual place, Big Pink. But my folks had a place up in Woodstock, near Woodstock. And, I've seen that house. You got a nicer basement, Mr. Codd.
It's a dump, but it was their dump, right?
Right.
When I think about Robbie's, the tour with Dylan, with the members of the band, Levon actually dropped out of that tour as the drummer. He just couldn't take, why are we getting on stage every night to go get booed, But Robbie was the guitar player at Dylan's side. And I think of his version of Tom Thumb's Blues, Robbie's contributions to that song from that 1966 live at Freedom Trade Hall in Manchester.
Oh, yeah.
That's the show where, the Judas accusations were flying at Dylan.
When you're lost in the rain and worries, when it's Easter time too, and your gravity fails and negativity don't pull you through, don't put on any airs when you're down on Rue Morgue Avenue.
Robbie's just playing nasty guitar in that song.
Matching Dylan's attitude on stage.
Absolutely. Robbie was like, turn it up, play it louder.
Yeah.
And Robbie told me that he had worked on unstrapping his guitar quickly so that he could use it as a weapon if they were attacked.
If need be.
Because that was the fear. That was the fear that they were going to get attacked on that stage.
Physically assaulted, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So if he had done only that tour, he would have had a place in rock history. The music for Big Pink album in 1968, the band's debut, and their self-titled album in 1969, those records really hold up. Where the songwriting credits should lie, it remains a disputed item. They said that Levon and Robbie sort of reconciled on Levon's deathbed years ago. But, the songwriting royalties thing was never fully resolved, I think. And then finally, the Last Waltz is kind of the end of the band's career, but really the beginning of Robbie's career as a filmmaker, as a soundtrack artist, and, a half dozen solo albums as well.
Well, and he was still apparently doing soundtrack music work for Scorsese up until the end.
Absolutely. And, he was working, in fact, on this last film, that Scorsese's working on. In fact, Robbie's music is apparently part of the Killers of the Flower Moon soundtrack that will be coming out in the fall when the movie is released. So, yeah, as you said, working till the final days. Robbie Robertson of the band. I want to play a piece of the band's version of Dylan's Tears of Rage. Mm. It's the first song on the first band album. Richard Manuel with the vocal. But listen to Robbie's guitar tone. It almost sounds like he's plugging it through a Leslie amplifier. Mm. But other people were saying to me that that's Garth Hudson's magic black box.
Huh.
He plugged into that and he got this great guitar tone.
Which was probably something like a Leslie, because Garth being
right, it
an
had
organist,
that sort of
yeah.
Leslie reverb-y type of effect on it. But anyway, just check out the opening to this song and the fills that Robbie Robertson's playing on this particular track. Tears of Rage from the band in honor of Robbie Robertson.
Wait upon him hand and foot, yeah. Always tell him no. Tears of grief.
A tribute to Robbie Robertson, dead at the age of 80. And now it is time, Mr. Cott, to dig up some buried treasures. Our periodic look into music flying well under the mainstream radar that we're always excited to share with our listeners. You're leading us off.
Thank you, Jim. I wanted to start with a band named RVG from Melbourne, Australia. I've been a fan of this band for a number of years. I think they have just released their best record. It's called Brainworms. And the thing that always struck out to me about this band is Romy Vager, the very versatile singer in this group. She sings in a lower range, more of a conversational tone, but very controlled, a sense of nuance about the way she's delivering the lyrics. She's not showing off her, you know, magnificent voice. She's telling you a story. And I love that quality in the songs. The debut album came out in 2017. Very concise. The songwriting has remained concise ever since then. It was a less than half an hour of listening on that first record. But every song, every note meant something. And she has an ability to cut to the heart of relationships when she's singing. Things aren't working out. The lyrics are super concise. There's a little couple of lines that I love in this record that kind of sum it up. I know that talking to you doesn't work anymore, so I don't. You know, and I'm see you later, pal.
Done with you.
And it's, you know, you just sort of get that punch in the nose right off the bat. She's very direct, and I love that. I love that about this band. It's RVG. Here's a song called Midnight Sun from the Brainworms album. That is Midnight Sun from RVG, one of my buried treasures.
You know, as always, Greg, we listen to each other's picks, but we don't necessarily research them. So I didn't know the story of RVG. I'm just thinking, wow, this is really kind of an old school punk, wonderful track that Greg chose. And now that you say Melbourne,
yeah.
Okay, all right, 100%. Saints, Celibate Rifles,
excellent.
Australia, makes sense. We try to choose up-and-coming artists. But this is a heritage act, the Rain Parade. I think the Rain Parade were absolutely one of the best bands in the movement that was known as the Paisley Underground. We did a whole show looking at those bands, episode 703.
Mm-hmm.
We were both fans. Psychedelic pop, reimagined, post-punk, largely on the West Coast, fellow travelers like the Dream Syndicate, the early Bangles. You know, but the Rain Parade made the masterpiece, as far as I'm concerned, with Emergency Third Rail Power Trip in 1983. Two brothers, David and Stephen Roback, David went off on his own not long after that first album. Steven continued with the guitarist Matt Piucci. They've played in a lot of different bands over the years together, groups like Viva Saturn and the Hellenes and solo records. And, you know, for a while, Piucci was standing guitarist with Crazy Horse. Not with Neil, but when Crazy Horse played as Crazy Horse.
Okay.
But this is the first official Rain Parade album coming soon called Last Days of a Dying Sun forever, since 1985.
A long time.
What made Stephen Roback and Matt Piucci decide that this was Rain Parade? They've been doing various tracks in the last couple of years, contributing to joint projects with the other bands in that Paisley Underground scene. But this feels like a Rain Parade album. I'm going to play the title track. Tell me what Beatles song they're acknowledging. I wouldn't say ripping off. I wouldn't even say copying. I think they're drawing a line saying that what started with Revolver in 66 continues in 2023 with Rain Parade. She'll come right back again. If we let her down too slow to the crumbling below. Now she's gone with all the fun in the rays of a dying sun. Last rays of a dying sun. Sound of the things that bring you down. Turn off the sun. It's too much for anyone. The Last Rays of a Dying Sun by Rain Parade. Did you catch the riff there? The guitar riff? She said. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with you on this track, though. I was really holding my breath thinking, how good can this be?
Right.
And it was sort of like with the Feelies. It's like they jumped right back into the driver's seat, and they sound pretty damn good. Now we want to go to one of our producers, Sol Delgadillo. Sol, you've got a buried treasure for us. What are you going to lay on us?
All right. So I picked an artist. It's spelled Laufey, but it's pronounced Leve. So a little bit about her. She is, I believe, currently 24, if not turning 25. She's Icelandic and Chinese, and she's based in L.A. So that's where the pronunciation for Leve comes from, because that's her actual birth name.
A true global artist.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And her music kind of makes me feel like a powerful Disney princess in a way. It makes me want to throw on an apron and clean with like woodland creatures, but for myself, but not for anybody else, you know, just for me. Her music has like this old jazz feel, and she sings, she composes, she produces, and she also plays multiple instruments. And according to Spotify, she had 425 million streams and was the most streamed jazz artist on the platform in 2022.
Wow.
So I think that's really impressive. And like just getting to be around my age, I think that's really cool and inspiring. And yeah.
Man, let's hear it.
Oh, the burning pain, listening to you heart bump out some new soulmate. She's so perfect, blah, blah, blah. Oh, how I wish. Let me say that when I talk to you, oh Cupid walks right through and shoots an arrow through my heart.
Leve, from the start. I'm hearing like more than a little Billie Eilish in there.
Bossa nova, a little lounge, but also kind of subversive lounge music.
Yeah, and I meant Billie Eilish as a compliment.
I think
it's that kind of power, yeah.
I love this track. She's so perfect, blah, blah, blah. I'm quoting a lyric there. I just love the attitude. You know, it's sort of taking this style and subverting it, this very kind of loungy adult pop thing, and turning it into something new. It's really cool.
Good job, as always, Sol. When we come back, we're going to share more of our recent buried treasures and hear from the other members of our production staff on Sound Opinions. And we are back. This week, we're sharing some of our latest batch of buried treasures, new under-the-radar songs you need to hear now. Let's throw it to another of our producers, Andrew Gill. Andrew, what do you got for us?
My pick this week is Bonnie Doon, a band from Detroit that's been around actually 9 years. They backed up Waxahachie on the St. Cloud album. So they were basically the band that toured with her and recorded that album with her. And that album was a real favorite of mine. So I was recently reading the newsletter from friend of the show, Josh Terry, and he was raving about Bonnie Doon. He loves them so much. they're from, you know, he's from Michigan, they're from Michigan. And they put out this new album in June called Let There Be Music. And, you know, I was going to compare them to the band and Dylan even before Robbie Robertson died. But but now that we've done an obit for him in the same episode, it's even more appropriate. I think that they've got like a kind of straight ahead, minimalist, classic songwriting kind of approach, you know, just very tasteful and doing these kind of Americana sort of sounds, but not a lot of eccentricity thrown in there. It's like very straightforward.
They're earnest.
I prefer it with Waxahachie singing on it, but I'll take what I can get, you know. This is a good album on its own.
All right,
so this is Let There Be Music from Bonnie Doon.
Let there be music, let there be love, let there be laughter, more than enough. And let there be sadness, but only sometimes. And let there be music to fill you up inside.
Bonnie Doon, Let There Be Music. I saw the band name and I was thinking, Andrew's still in Ireland.
That's what
from
I thought,
his vacation.
Too.
But no, not Irish, but good. Michigan. Thank you, Andrew. Greg, you got another treasure?
Yes, indeed. I got to follow the jaunty Bonnie Doon, but I'll try. This is not very jaunty, but I do like my electronic soul music. Very progressive. A lot of good stuff coming out of England in recent years in that vein. You know, sort of blending soul music, blending the modern technology in a kind of progressive way, avant-garde-ish way. One of those artists that's doing that kind of music is the one I'm going to play next, Khazali. That's K-H-A-Z-A-L-I. And appeared on a compilation in 2016. The name of the compilation was Slow Dance Records. And sort of emerged as like, oh, this guy's an interesting voice. And has been releasing a steady supply of singles and EPs since then. It still hasn't had a full-length album yet, but the music keeps coming. You know, I did a little bit of research on Khazali, and he says, you know, he keeps a dream journal, which is a way of saying he's got a little lyrics book.
Yeah.
But it's basically he sits down and writes down his dreams.
Wakes up.
If you do that right away, sometimes you can get those last couple of dreams into your notes. Otherwise, you forget them. At least I do.
I can never remember.
Anyway, that's the basis for his lyrics, and there's sort of an abstract quality to the lyrics that fits the tone of the music, which I love. I think for certain times of day, Khazali is exactly the kind of music you want to hear. The track's called Magic on Sound Opinions. That is Magic from Khazali out of London, R&B singer.
Good stuff. You know, I keep hearing the Tricky influence come out more and more these days, and that's encouraging to hear.
Yeah, very cool stuff.
Greg, I'm going for something completely stylistically different. Frankie and the Witch Fingers. Now, you know, I'm going to check out any band with a name like that, right? And then when
it's got the, Witch, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, and Frankie,
right?
And
right there you go.
You know, when the track is as good as Miles Davis, which is also a great name, obviously nodding a little bit and playing on Miles Davis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a psychedelic punk, doom, you know, kind of band from L.A., that stoner rock sound you and I both love, but a little more of an indie sensibility. They've toured and opened for the likes of Ty Siegel and the OCs. They have a new rhythm section. They have a new album coming out in September. It's called Data Doom, and this is a single that's out there that's really winning, that really won me over. Inspired by Miles Davis's early 70s electric period. Miles goes rock, right? And complete, Greg, in a 7/4 time signature, which is not something your average stoner rock band can give you. It's hard to count to 7/4. Says the band, they wrote this song in a moment of feeling pessimistic about what technology is doing to our society, especially AI. You know, it's going to come a day when there can be a sound opinions produced by AI.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be as much fun.
Tell me about it.
But the band continues, and the bridge comes along from a more optimistic perspective, questioning, can we just reboot everything and start over? I'm all for the reboot from time to time. Great, great band, I think. Frankie and the Witch Fingers, Miles Davis. Miles Davis from Frankie and the Witch Fingers. It seemed to me that that's the sort of thing you would have liked.
No, you know, you're going to hate me for saying this.
You don't like it?
No, I do like it. And,
oh, okay.
But I was thinking Zappa-esque when I was listening.
Zappa.
Kind of very complex music, you know, frantic. You know, some of Zappa's more experimental side of music. I heard that in there.
They've been embraced by some of the fans of King Grizzard, Lizard, Wizard,
whatever.
Yeah, I
could see that. I could definitely see that.
I don't mean that as a compliment. I'll take the Ty Siegel comparisons.
Yeah, no, I dig it. Next band I want to play is a band called Bedroom. It's condensed to BDRMM, which is, in fact, where they started.
Who needs vowels?
The songwriter, Ryan Smith, started making records in his bedroom, expanded to a co-ed quartet. They're out of England. They've released two studio albums, including the latest one. It's Just a Bit of Blood. Mogwai signed them to their label. A Mogwai, a band I greatly respect, has been around for decades, and they do love the sort of atmospheric, extended guitar excursions that this band is very good at. You know, it's another cool spin on shoegaze, a genre that we thought was dead, or some people did. It just came and went in the early 90s, right?
But it'll never die.
I don't think so. I think there's a lot of staying power to that sound, and a lot of bands keep exploring it, and I think Bedroom does it very well. It's Just a Bit of Blood is the name of the track from the I Don't Know LP on Sound Opinions.
Yeah.
That is Bedroom with It's Just a Bit of Blood.
I love the way the intro to that song, obviously we were not going to play the whole thing, fakes you out.
Yeah.
And then it goes into something that's kind of like stampeding TV on the radio.
Yeah, not a bad thing.
No, I love that. I love it. Greg, I'm going to Italy. Well, and I'm going to Philadelphia. Well, and Nashville in between. A singer-songwriter named Santa Chiara, originally from the Naples area of Italy. A young prodigy, raised in classical conservatories, began playing at 13, joining her first orchestra. At 16, she was stunning the classical world, but she discovered, speaking of Frank Zappa, also Captain Beefheart, the Velvet Underground, all right, named herself as a rock artist, Santa Chiara, after a monastery in Naples. At 24, she is now married to Ron Gallo, the American singer-songwriter.
Oh, okay.
Originally came over here to the States from the Turin area of Italy. Lived in Nashville for a while. She and Ron apparently are in Philadelphia now, very much in love. Never wrote songs until this forthcoming album, coming in October, called Imported. Never wrote songs in English.
Wow.
Right?
Really? Okay.
And so now is writing in English. And this single is already out there from the album that's coming down the pike called Visa. And it's about her frustration in the immigration process in this country. Even when you are married, even when you are trying to do things legally, she calls it discriminatory, stressful, tiring until the end. I use these words that she's used to convey a little bit of the anger that you're going to hear.
Yeah.
Because she is angry. There's another song that I've heard from the album called 25. Yeah, anger is the mode. Punk rock, smart, furious, and just absolutely hits you fast and hard. Visa by Santa Chiara. Visa by Santa Chiara. Doesn't that kick butt?
You know, I'm glad you gave the backdrop on that story, the craziness of obtaining a visa these days, because that song is just like frantic, and it's similar into the Frankie and the Witchfingers song in terms of its, you know, it's constant. There's stuff going on all the time. You know, Raymond Scott popped into my mind. It's catchy, but it's kind of loony bin type of music.
This is what you get when you're punk at heart, but intellectually trained in the conservatories of Europe.
I hear you. It was fascinating. I don't know. It'd be the kind of song like it would drive you crazy if you listened to it over and over again. But I guess that's the point.
Yeah, I love it. It's a good crazy. Let's go to Alex Claiborne, the last of our producers who's going to contribute to these buried treasures. It's always a treat to have their voices in these shows. Alex, what do you got?
Hey, guys. So today, my buried treasure pick is an artist called Fight Master.
All caps.
Yes, mm-hmm. All caps.
They are not messing around.
It is the artist's last name. E.R. Fight Master is a musician, an actor, a comedian. They're non-binary and use they, them pronouns. And they're originally from Cincinnati, but they have quite a bit of Chicago roots where they transferred to DePaul University for college and then worked quite a bit at Second City and other, you know, Chicago improv venues. And so this person is primarily an actor, I would say, a comedic actor. They spent two seasons on Shrill, which is that 80 Bryant show on Hulu, and now they're actually on Grey's Anatomy. They have been releasing music as one half of the duo Twin since 2020, but this is the first and only song out as Fight Master as of August 2020. 11th, 2023. The song I want to play is called Bad Man. And what drew me to this particular song is it is almost like it has all these surf rock undertones. And I really enjoy the guitar breakdowns. But you know me, I love a catchy chorus. The subject matter is a little spicy. You know, it's kind of about like, mm-hmm. you better watch out because ER Fightmaster is about to steal your girl from you. So I heard the song and it instantly got stuck in my brain. And so the song is
the
back.
The Earworm. Yep.
Yep. By ER Fightmaster.
Oh, and I won't ask a single question. A question about who you're supposed to be. I already know the answer. And the answer is your idea. Your man thinks I'm a bad man.
Bad Man by Fightmaster. You know what I was thinking when I was listening to this, and I loved it, Alex. And I thought I understood why you loved it too. It seems like an indie genre mixing take on Jolene.
Yes.
By Dolly Parton.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Is it that classic, the evil woman stealing, the boyfriend and the pronouns get all mixed up. But the idea of the cheater.
Yeah. Right, of someone from that perspective of like, you know, your man over here is being a clown and not paying attention. I'm going to come in and like, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you, Alex. Thank you, everybody, Sound Opinions team. When we come back, more buried treasures in a minute on Sound Opinions.
And we're back. This week, we're sharing new music that we're excited about and think you need to hear. The track I'm going to play next is from a band named Poison Ruin, Philly Quartet. Another band that started off as a solo project by the singer Mac Kennedy, but soon morphed into a band, self-titled debut in 2021. There's so many variations on punk and metal in recent years. Here's a band that's sort of bringing those two sounds together that I thought was really interesting. The way they were taking the synthesizers and incorporating it into this guitar thing that they were doing. So they can go medieval on you. And then the next thing, they're Black Flag. You know, it's kind of like this combination of sounds.
This is the Buried Treasure episode where you keep choosing tracks that start one way and then become something completely
truly,
different. Yeah,
truly. And I think, you know, the entire album is sort of in that vein. In a sense, it's experimental. But, you know, when I think about this band and I started listening to their music closely, this has been consistent throughout their brief but very powerful career. A little bit of High on Fire kind of vibe for me, you know?
Yeah.
The punkish thing, but also kind of steeped in that medieval Dungeons and Dragons imagery in a lot of the songs. But at the same time, it's not about fantasy. These songs are steeped in what's going on in the community now. So the sound is, it conveys a certain type of music, but their lyrics are very much about addressing the faults, what they see is as the declining planet that we're living in right now. The name of the band is Poison Ruin. This is a track called Pinnacle of Ecstasy from their latest album, Harvest, on Sound Opinion. That is Poison Ruin, Pinnacle of Ecstasy. And it's really not about ecstasy, but you get the point.
Good stuff, Greg. Good stuff. I'm going next to an artist named Boyce, B-O-I-C-E. One of our last buried treasures episodes. Boyce tweeted at me, love the latest Buried Treasure episode, would love to be considered for the next one. I said, all right, I'll listen to that, you know. And indeed, an album came out last year, never mind the hardships. Boyce is maybe best known as the host of another music interview podcast, Talk Music Talk. I think those in the journal, music journal world might know Boyce as one of the editors and submission judges for 33 and a third series of books on, okay, on albums. I didn't know either of these things. I listened to the track. He asked via tweet, listen, consider me. And I heard this track. It's called The Wound Collector. It turns out Nevermind the Hardships is sort of a concept album about his mother, who suffers from narcissistic personality disorder, and the difficulties of living with someone, you know, conditional love, a lack of empathy, manipulation. You know, let's face it, narcissism is maybe the disease of our era. Mm-hmm. No two ways about it. So during the pandemic, locked up with no social contact, Boyce decided, I'm going to learn how to use Ableton and use the music software to create this album. Really an interesting track, Wound Collector, by Boyce on Sound Opinions.
Sorry doesn't cut it from my kind, forgive and forgetting, that's all I left, bygones be bygones, not my lifetime, first time to last time, goodbye, goodbye. Can't let go, life's not fair, can't let go, I don't care, can't let go, it's not fair, can't let go, I don't care, I'm the wound collector, I'm the wound. I'm the wound collector, I'm the wound collector.
A voice with the wound collector. You know, wow. Powerful.
The thing about that Boyce track that I liked was the way it has this sort of strange-sounding electronic backdrop, and then it sort of suggests a gospel song.
There's a lot of soul in Boyce's voice.
So it's very cool. I'm going to go in an opposite direction here for something more indie pop by The Clientele, a veteran band like the Rain Parade, been around for a while, right? And the people who know, they love them, but they've sort of been floating under the radar for a long time, making consistently good records. 8 of their 9 records have been on Merge Records. So, you know, Mac and his crew over there know their music, and they love this band. And I'm going to give them some love right now. I love this double album that they just put out. Double album. That sounds like an anachronism too, doesn't it?
Wow.
19 songs.
So there's
album.
Some ambition here.
Yeah, absolutely. And a bunch of great songs. Kind of low key, very catchy, very tuneful. Some experimental touches on this record. There's almost like a field recording vibe on some of the songs. But the one I'm going to play underlines their enduring strength, their gift for melody, their detailed production, the dreamy and drifting vocals. It's prime Clientele. This is Blue Over Blue from I Am Not There Anymore, their new LP, The Clientele on Sound Opinions.
None of these signs lead where they point. The spin is out of joint. Follow me down, we'll hitch a ride.
Clientele on Sound Opinions. By the way, he was working at a publisher in 1997, and he rejected the first Harry Potter novel.
That's why still an indie musician.
Considered it too watered down. Oh. Like Oasis, he compared it to, right?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if it's a computer patch or the real deal, but I kind of love what sounds like a Mellotron to me.
It's kind of cool. You know, the touches they use production-wise.
Special interest. I don't know, Greg, how I missed this band in 2022. Its last album, Endure, turns out to have gotten a lot of attention, and it didn't ding my radar, and I'm disappointed it didn't, because this is a sound I instantly fell in love with when I sampled the new single. Mm-hmm. So this is just out. Disco 1.5 is the name of the song. You know, and that last album came out on Rough Trade, a label that invariably, you know, I don't think there's ever been a Rough Trade record. We haven't loved them all, but we've always been interested because Jeff Travis and his partners there, they have ears, as they used to say in the music world. Ali Logout, the vocalist, and guitarist Maria Elena lead this band in front of the rhythm section, political, hardcore, but also danceable, going for that no-wave sound that followed punk in New York that was as much about dancing as it was about punk aggression. This song is 1.5 minutes long, Disco 1.5. I just love the fury here. I love everything about it. And I was also thinking, oh, this is going to be a Greg kind of track, because you do love that no wave sound. But I'll be eager to hear what you think. Disco 1.5 from Special Interest.
You know, Jim, I'm getting a real Wax Trax mutant disco, industrial disco kind of vibe with that song. It would have fit in perfectly with that label's catalog in the 80s.
Oh, absolutely. And they're from New Orleans, apparently part of leaders in a now thriving underground DIY scene. If there's more bands as good as Special Interest, man, I'm overdue to revisit New Orleans.
Tell me about it. I'm going to go to the another band from Melbourne. This is my second Melbourne band from Australia. The a garage punk band named Split System. Their release in 2022 was their debut album, appropriately titled Volume 1. And I'm going to play the first single from the forthcoming album number 2 called Alone Again. You know, we mentioned that lineage of Melbourne punk, Australian punk, you know, the Saints, Amel and the Sniffers, you know,
yeah,
that whole
love that band.
Lineage of bands. These guys are right in that pocket. In typical Australian fashion, I think there's a lot of self-deprecation in a lot of Australian music, you know. I just want to be the best I can, even when I'm slipping all the time. You know, I'm going to screw this up, but I'm going to keep going, you know. Mm-hmm. And here's that track, Alone Again, from Split System on Sound Opinions. New single from Split System from Australia, Alone Again.
I admire anybody who admits they screw up all the time, but they just keep going. Kind of our mantra.
Exactly.
I have a song, Greg, Nah, That Ain't It, from Spiritual Cramp. The album is coming out at the end of October. The single is out now. They've played and toured with Iggy Pop, Viagra Boys. They call themselves a hard mod band from the Bay Area hardcore scene. And they said their goal with this forthcoming album was to realize over the course of a whole record what the cover of the Ramones album Subterranean Jungle looked like. remember that one? It's like the cartoon Ramones coming out of the subway train. So they wanted to make an album that evoked that feeling. I think they do. I think there's a little bit hard mod. I think ska's become a dirty word when it's up to its fourth or fifth revival. I hear a little bit of Mighty Mighty Boss Tones in them, which I like as a compliment. I know you do not.
I have my doubts.
I remain a Mighty Mighty Boss Tones fan, but there's just as much Ramones straightforward propulsion and aggression. I love this track, Nah, That Ain't It, by Spiritual Plant. Spiritual Cramp. I'm gonna very much look forward to the end of October for both Halloween and the entire album from these folks. Didn't do it for you, I'm sure.
No, I mean, you know, the pounding. I mean, I got the refrain. You know, if you listen to the whole song, they get that refrain and they give it to you a few million times. You know?
Yeah. Well, so you don't forget.
Exactly. And I won't.
Those are our buried treasures this time around. As always, we want to hear your picks. We welcome your tweets. Do I have to say we welcome your exes now? Your Facebook messages or Instagrams, or leave us a voice message on our website. It's even better to hear your voice, and then we can share it on the show. What do we have on the show next week?
Next week, Jim, we are going to take a long look at the history of South African music, a fascinating discussion. And do not forget to check out our bonus podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors. Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. As always, Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. You may not hear them in every show, but they are part of every show. Our social media consultant is Katie Cott. We move out. We move out. We move out. We move out. We move out.